Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Parenting and Family Reconstructing Learning Lab. Our show provides our listening audience with an interactive conversation on effective parenting. This particular episode will focus on developing leadership skills in children, and our listeners are invited to bring questions as well as share their parenting experiences to the Learning Lab with us. Let me introduce to you your host for tonight's show, Assalamu alaikum, Mark Shaheed.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مبارك. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone. and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed 1,444 years ago, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, the producer, along with Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, who's always absent on the first Wednesday of the month. But don't fear, because Rashid Salam is here, as he does a very excellent job in terms of filling in on the first Wednesday of the month. I want to say to those of you who are listening in for the first time here to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we want you to feel right at home, and we welcome you to ask any questions or make any comments that you would like to make on some of the commentary that you will hear tonight, or maybe a little bit of an overview of something that we talked about last week, or any question that you would like to make regarding to parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life here on this production. Now, those of you who are listening by way of the Internet, and we are very, very confident of those who listen by way of the Internet, for you to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. This is a good time to make sure that you get your pen and pad to take down the number and also to alert your family, friends, associates, neighbors, community members that the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is on, and they can tune in. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673. We also like to hear from those of you who may listen in each and every week, but you have absolutely nothing to say, a question, a comment. But if, in fact, that some of the things that you hear tonight resonate with you, Rashid Salam and myself, we would love to hear from you. And you can do that by pressing 1. And Rashid will alert me that you have your hand up, as this is a learning lab, and that you have a question or a comment, or just want to let it be known that what you're hearing is resonating with you tonight. And we want to, before we get into tonight's learning lab, we want you to know that this learning lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, has the same foundation as the sister learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which will air tomorrow here on IWDM Radio. And the sources that we use are 3. Number 1 is Al-Quran, the final revelation to all of humanity. Number 2, it's a life example of the prophet in the demonstration of the revelation. And number 3, our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waqidi Muhammad Tafsir, which simply means the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad in regards to Quranic revelation and also the life example of the prophet. Those are our sources. That is the foundation for this learning lab. Much of the information, you will hear references from the Quran, from the life example of the prophet, in terms of what would be correct parenting from an Islamic perspective. And if we're ever going to be able to remake the world, we have to reconstruct the destructive family life, as that is the first social unit in human society. And so with that being said, I'd like to also give to you, many listening in for the first time, and just to refresh the memory of those who listen in each and every week to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we have some things that are staples just to remind you, and following the lead of our beloved leader, Imam Waqidi Muhammad, when he said, in definition is direction. In definition is direction. We've also added correction so that we don't become misdirected, and if we're incorrect, then we become corrected in giving the correct definition. We have a very simplistic but a very profound definition when it comes to parenting. We said parenting is the process of nurturing and cultivating not only the physical but the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. This is a big role. It's a big
Mark, you're not being heard. Mark, we can't hear you. Mark, if you're on the line, we can't hear you at all. Assalamu alaikum. I think we have some technical difficulties with Mark's line right now, so he just dropped off, so I'm anticipating him coming back very shortly. And we want to thank those of you who have signed into IWDM Radio to hear another episode of Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And Mark made a dynamic definition when he talked about definition, in definition, this is direction, and added value to that to be in correction, you know, so that's so important. You know, and then as we talk about working with families and our children, something he always says, we have to face whatever is wrong as a family unit, whether you have a child, then we have to trace what happened that caused the difficulty or the misunderstanding within that relationship, and then erase what you trace, but the only way you can do that is replace it with something that's more positive, and the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is usually that tool that's necessary to get that replacement taken care of properly. For those of you who want to tune in and ask a question or participate in the lab, please press 1 on your phone now so you can be prepared to be in line as we have an opportunity for your participation. We really truly invite you to bring your questions as well as share your experiences, because it is so important to hear from our community. And your experiences may be the ones that we absolutely need to solve a problem that we may be experiencing. So we look forward to you getting involved with us in an interactive conversation on effective parenting, whether you thought it was good or not, you know, whether you thought it was great or not. You know, we ask that you at least participate with us and guide us and provide us with those leadership skills which you have given to your children, and some of you have children who have been very, very successful. We want to hear about that. What did you do to ensure that your leadership skills that you bestowed upon your children, what did it take them? How did they get there? What did you do as a family unit, as a complete family unit, whether you're Islamic community, just in your own home and household? It's so important that we understand the essence of building community life. And that's what our email wants us to do, build community life. If we can build community life, we're okay, because in building community life, we have some issues surrounding the development of our life. We have 314-425 on the line. Can we please state your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Well, this is the host, so I do apologize for a listening audience
here. Brother.
I had to switch up here. So I'm the live.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Rashid Salam, for going on with this. And to complete some of the staples here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as I said earlier, and you may not have heard it,
The role and responsibility of our parents is to raise up our children to become leaders, and to exemplify leadership qualities for themselves, first and foremost for themselves, then their family, and then their community. And then we say, inshallah, simply meaning, God willing, that having that type of mental attitude and disposition and consciously regardful of our role and responsibility in our relationship to our children, that some world leaders can and will emerge from that way of thinking. And is also that we need to know and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means Allah, the Most High, who's perfect, who makes no errors, no mistakes. He is the first teacher for all of humanity. He teaches the whole of humanity through his word of revelation and natural creation. That's how he teaches humanity. He has given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and the first leader, not only for our baby girls, but also for our baby boys. And also the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her the honor and distinction of being the first caretaker, not only our baby girls and baby boys, but also giving them the fundamental and foundational knowledge. And so with that being said, as we always traditionally like to talk, give a little something in regards to last week's episode, which was linking our children to Allah, I think it was very informational. And one of the things that was said in the outstanding publication that we're using as a reference or source of reference is that the Adhan that we call, it is the tradition, has been the tradition to call the Adhan in the right ear of the newborn baby and in the left ear, the Iqama. As we know that the Adhan begins with Allahu Akbar, and it's said four times, which four is universal, four times. Allah is said in the Quran that he's the Lord of the two east and the two west, meaning that anywhere that you look, Allah is the Lord. And we know that Allah is greater, bigger, and more important. So these should be the first words that our baby boys and our baby girls should actually hear. This should grow up in them. And then as they grow, the knowledge should grow in terms of what that means. This is one of the ways in terms of linking our children to Allah. Another way in terms of linking our children to Allah, as we introduce them to natural creation, in terms of keeping them in touch with the natural creation and let them know that everything that they see, that they hear, you understand that it is that they smell, that they taste, that they come in touch with, the five senses. These are the receptors bringing in knowledge. And we ought to link that to Almighty God, Allah as Al-Khaliq, which is the creator. Allah is the creator. And that all that they see in terms of seeing it as a phenomena, which amazement and all, such as the beautiful butterfly and the process in terms of the butterfly becoming a butterfly, all of this is Allah's natural creation, and he has a process for everything that he has created. He brings us from simple to complex, from immaturity to maturity. And we have to begin to start teaching our children early on that this is Allah's creation, and we should also teach our children that they are Allah's creation and that we have to learn about ourselves, So this is very important. This keeps our children in touch with Allah, and that we should be thankful and grateful that Allah has created this whole universe, what we call the whole universe, the whole natural world. He has created that for his human creation. This is one of the master keys that our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, has taught us, and this is something that we have to pass on to our children. So I want you to make sure you take note of that and linking our children to Almighty God, Allah. This is very important. And we know also, you know, Rashid, that when we do link our children to Almighty God, Allah, it gives them the right mental attitude, the right disposition that ultimately will affect them emotionally, but also it will have impact on their behavior. If some of the things that we see that's happening in the world today, if our children were linked to the Creator, just think of how the world would actually be. But you can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you don't go. So this is very, very important. And so hopefully we get that message in terms of parenting skills. And so the outstanding publication that we use, we are using is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah and Practical Applications for Various Ages. So this is outstanding publication. And we ask that you do purchase that book, you know, and of course you can always get that on Amazon. You can order that book. It's an outstanding book. If you want to learn about parenting skills from an Islamic perspective, there's no better perspective to have than Islamic perspective and based on the Quran, which should be at the foundation of our life in terms of guidance in every aspect of our life and also the practical applications of that in the life of the Prophet Muhammad. So tonight, Rashid, we're gonna talk about mercy, kindness, and gentleness when it comes to our children. How important that is, and we probably may not get no further than mercy. And one of the ayats that was recommended in the book by the Bashirs is Surah 21, Ayat 107, where Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says that he has extended mercy to all of his creatures. Allah says he has extended mercy to all of his creatures. Well, the human being is also one of the creatures of Almighty God Allah. We should see ourselves as creation too. And Allah has extended mercy to all creatures. You might ask, well, how is it when you say mercy, how has Allah extended mercy? Well, you know, when you heard me in my prelude, come on and say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. That simply means that all the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. Everything that Allah has created, it has a system of knowledge that comes along with it. But Allah is the nourisher of everything he creates. He nourishes it. He sustains it, which means that he sustains it, he keeps it alive. You know, he nourishes, he sustains it. He's the guardian, meaning that he is the protector of it. So it stays in the natural creation. And he evolves it. We talk about evolving from immaturity to maturity. See, this is a tarabiyah, what we call tarabiyah. Tarabiyah is actually a word for parenting, but it's also connected with educating. So the tarabiyah, and for as parents to understand that we are to educate, and we are to educate and teach our children in terms of our parenting. You can't be a good parent without being a good educator, a good teacher, because that means that it is that you have to do what Allah is doing for all of his creation. You have to nourish our babies from infanthood to adulthood. You have to sustain their life. This is a role and responsibility that Allah has given to all of us, you know. And we have to protect. We have to protect the life, and we have to help evolve the life with Allah's guidance. So we're going to be talking about mercy tonight. You know, Rashid, I want to bring you into the conversation. When we look at mercy, how Allah has extended mercy to us, it's so imperative that as parents that we extend mercy to our children and not be harsh and hard-hearted with them, because as you know, you read the Quran, Allah says he's all forgiven, most mercy, most merciful. And we know that mercy becomes a prerequisite for forgiveness. You know, Rashid, you know, we probably have seen parents today are very, very harsh on their children. If children are growing up and, you know, they're inquisitive, they want to know this, they want to know that. And sometimes, and especially boys, always looking into things and sometimes maybe pulling things apart, tearing things up. So, you know, in parenting, we have to show mercy or what we call compassion as they are actually learning in terms of tarbiyah, in terms of parenting them, but also educating them. Rashid, I know you have something to say about that, because I'm quite sure that when you was a child coming up, like most boys are, they actually get into things or probably as a parent, you know, raising boys up, you actually see that more so with boys than also like girls. Rashid?
Yes, sir. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Thank you, Mark, so much. You know, as being the engineer for the show and listen to all the past programs, it always, on every time I have this opportunity to speak with you on Wednesday, I go back and I just find and pull from and draw from all those beautiful shows that we talk about. And it always winds up being education. It really does. You know, so as you were talking today about mercy, you know, what about those individuals who were not Muslims at the time? They were born into Islam. Those individuals who made their conversion over to Islam after many years of not being a Muslim. And to hear this type of information and education, I'm not going to say it scares people, but it makes you stop and take a look at this in a very serious way. Because as you say, you only could be what your life experiences are. So all you are is a culmination of your life experiences. So if your life experiences didn't bring you to understanding of where mercy is, and a lot of times we use that tool to hurt our children or to show power with our children by not being forgiven, in a position where we can say positive things to our children. And once again, here we go with the word definition and direction. But the correction is, as I'm talking about myself, for instance, you know, my children were in their teens when I stepped this way of life. You know, so I had to go back and look at the lack of awareness that I had, look at the values that my forefathers gave me, and those standards of excellence, Mark, and the ineffective vision of roles that I played in growing up and participating in society. My parents made a lot of mistakes because they didn't know. My grandmother and my community, we made a lot of mistakes because we didn't know. So this education issue, trying to identify the priorities and utilizing the strategies to bring about that lack of self-awareness that we had, I think some people get shut down because they don't want to accept the fact that you didn't know. You didn't know. That's the beauty and the mercy of Allah to protect me all these years and protect my children all these years, but now I can implement some of the goals and some of the solutions that are necessary to deal with this systemic style that we've learned, because we have been socialized. We have to accept that. And most of us don't want to accept that. We have been put in a situation where we think we know what we know, and all you know is what somebody taught you in your socialization. And so it's so important that we grasp that understanding of the mercy has already been bestowed upon us. And the fact that I know for a fact, based on my mother, based on my grandmother, they were very, very merciful towards us, even though we made mistakes, even though we did a lot of things wrong. They put up with a lot of things simply because they didn't know. They allowed us to try to find it on our own. My father said, baby, all I can tell you is get an education because I didn't get one. You know, so when you start talking about education and some of the solutions that's required and some of the outcomes that are absolutely important, that we begin to think in terms of this way of life does for us. It provides us with defined roles. It has instruction, guides us, it affirms us, and it fosters unity that we must have to develop leadership skills in our children. So I just wanted to say that, and like I said, I just want to let everyone know who's on the line. I'm just blessed and thankful for this show is on the air, because I've learned so much in the past by just being an engineer and listening. And I just want to say that our thinking process has changed, so we can start thinking in this new modern day to be better at what we do and how we do it, whether your grandchildren or whoever they be, neighbor, friend. So I hope that was okay.
No, alhamdulillah. I want to just say alhamdulillah. For those who don't know, that means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I just want to commend you. That's excellent commentary. And just, looking at your own life and actually, speaking the truth in terms of what it is that we really didn't know in terms of being merciful and compassionate with our children. You know, Rashid, it was reported that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's the prayers and the peace be upon him, he's the perfect human model for us in every aspect of our life, including as a parent. And not only with his children, but he was also very, very merciful and compassionate. And he was very kind to children. It was reported that he often would stop when he see children that would be playing, and he would stop and he would smile at them. He would pick them up. He would hug them. He would kiss them and everything. And the Prophet, it was also reported that the Prophet Muhammad would get into the world in terms of play. It was reported once that he was playing with a little boy, and he got down on his hands and knees so that he could ride him. And he said to the little boy, he said that, "You're the best rider, and you have the best camel," talking about himself in that regard. And a sense of humor. He was very, very compassionate with children, and they loved the Prophet. They was glad to see him whenever he came, and all he did was just show the kindness to them by embracing them and making them feel very, very special. And you know, Rashid, I think today, you know, with the way life is and seemingly it seems to become so stressful for people in terms of even producing a smile. You know, I often say a smile is one of the very few good things that you can give and keep at the same time. Of course, you can have a cold and you can give and keep that at the same time. But one of the few good things that you can give and keep at the same time is a smile or a kind word. You know, Rashid, when I was coming up and you were coming up, it was not uncommon for people in the neighborhood, the neighbors, you understand, that will have a kind word or encouraging a word to young people. You don't see that as much today, and right. Oftentimes you don't even see it in the first social unit in terms of a smile, a hug, an encouraging word, words of affirmation that should be coming forth to our children. And then even at the ages, at stages where they are, in terms of just engaging with them. I find myself that I often say I got a little boy in me, and I find myself sometimes with my children, my grandchildren, I should say, now my children are grown, but when they have games, you know, say, "Well, how do you play that? You think grandpa can play with that?" So, yeah, grandpa. So this may seem insignificant, but we take a lesson from the Prophet Muhammad how important that is. And although this is about the mercy and the compassion and the kindness that we should be showing to our children, it's also linking our children, you understand, in more of a closer bond to us. But in terms of actually doing that, it's also helping to teach and educate. This is the word for tarbiyah, which is an Arabic word, which simply means parenting. But with parenting also come teaching. It's like trying to take the wet out of water, the cold out of ice, the heat out of fire. It comes together. So parenting, when you think about parenting, everything is not just done academically. It is a big role of responsibility. As I said in the very beginning, that we have a big role of responsibility in parenting in terms of educating our children. And part of that education is how we treat them. And I want to say to those who may just tune in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and with Rashid Salaam tonight, sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slaudine on this first Wednesday, and yours truly, Mark Shahid. So if you have any questions or comments on anything that Rashid Salaam has said or I've said tonight, we do welcome you to press 1 in the queue, ask the question or make a comment. And for those of you who listen in, if anything is resonating with you, we'd like to hear from you, and you can do that by pressing 1. So, Rashid, you know, when you look at that in terms of, you know, the simple things that once we experience as children, or oftentimes I would say more so for me, I can say in terms of my family, then oftentimes today our young people are not experiencing those things that actually are a demonstration of compassion and mercy and also kindness and gentleness as the Prophet Muhammad demonstrated in his lifetime. Rashid?
Yes, sir. You know, and that's so important what you just said. And I think one of the keys as well, Mark, with our children, as we begin to show mercy or get a better understanding of that kindness, we have to improve our effective communication skill set. Because without that, you know, we interfere with the ability and we impair the positive transition into responsible lifestyles, responsible adulthood. And we don't give our children the opportunity to understand the alternative life success disciplines that come into growing up and developing. So these tools that we need, showing our children how to develop those conflict resolution tools, showing our children how to succeed in life through increased education and information. You have to have those guidelines, and they only could come from an educated person. As you say, how can you be a teacher if you're not educated? And you have to understand that building community life is one of our key components. And that in terms that you start at home, you know, I always say this, well, we have to go back to the origin. And we have the example, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We have the Quran that's available to us right now. And I know we don't, I can't speak for everybody, but I know when my transition came about, when I started trying to make changes, I was embarrassed. You know, because I didn't know something as simple as some of the things I was learning, you know. And, you know, how do you prepare your children to be the new leaders and future teachers and entrepreneurs in this country because you didn't have the opportunity to get those things and the mercy bestowed upon God, on us, by our Creator, provided me with thought-provoking changes in my life. And it was designed to prepare me, number one, and open new possibilities for my children so I can interact with them a lot better. And we always had this one thing, and I must say that was merciful. That was the mercy of me not being a Muslim at the time and also my transition to practice this way of life. I always was able to communicate with my children.
Yes.
That was something that I didn't have because my parents had too many children to communicate with anybody. You know, and we were so busy just trying to survive, Mark. You know, just trying to survive. I mean, I don't know. I can't remember four conversations I had with my dad in my lifetime. I mean, really, truly conversations.
I'm not laughing. You know, at you because what you just said in terms of your dad. I have said before here on the Learning Lab. I didn't have a father. I had a daddy, but I can't remember anything that he said so very profound, and that we really had a lot of conversation whenever I saw him. And I think that's so very, very important. You know, when we talk about parenting, as you well know, you hear this prelude to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we try to dismiss the misnomer that is only the role and responsibility of the mother. You understand, and nurturing and cultivating those vital components that comprise the holistic human being. And so that means that you have to actively be involved. And as you so eloquently articulated, the communication part in terms of talking with your children, this is how they actually learn. You know, I remember coming up, you know, Rashid, I'm quite sure you remember that's true. that when you look at your grandparents, and if you were fortunate to have been at a time where your great-grandparents, they oftentimes they engaged us with just experiences in their own life, which were good teaching tools. They didn't have much in terms of education, but this is how they communicated with us. Very seldom now do you see parents that sit down and actually talk to their children. And you know, talking about mercy and compassion, children, you know, as they experience this thing we call life, they're going to make errors. They're going to make mistakes. But we have to teach them that the word mistake, it becomes the only real mistake you make is not you mistaking something from the experience. These are the type of conversation and communication and information that children should be receiving all the time. This is showing the love, the mercy, the compassion that it is that our children really, really need. They need to know that somebody cares about them. Is that old saying? The children don't care what you know until they know that you really care. And I think that this is something that's vitally important. I want to say to the radio listening audience, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Rashid Salam, sitting in for Dr. Patricia Slaudine on this first Wednesday, and Mark Shahid. And we'd love to hear from you in terms of maybe your parenting skills. How much, when you think back in retrospect, would you and could you have been a little bit more merciful and compassionate to your children? Were you kind to your children? Or if you want to relate, how were your parents in regards to raising you up? Were they stern and firm and hard on you and all? And would you wish that you, as Rashid Salam, had been socialized in a little bit better way, because your socialization and your acculturation is going to have an influence and an impact on what type of parent and parenting skills that you would have exemplified. And if you could do it all over again, what type of parent would you be? Rashid, do we have anybody with their hands up?
We have no one at this time.
We want to encourage you. We want to encourage you. If anything that you hear tonight is resonating with you, please press 1. We'd like to hear from you. Go ahead, Rashid. I know you want to share something with our radio listening audience.
Yeah. You know, as I continue to learn every time I host this, engineer this show, and then listening every first Tuesday, I have the opportunity to speak with you. You know, and I just want you, if you only have a minute, you know, to answer this one particular question. But I'm not going to say it's resonating with me, but it's something I would love to be able to get a hand into and study. You know, to achieve the goals of our future, you know, we have to collectively invest time into solidifying the cracks of our past. You know, that's something we just have to do. There were cracks in our foundation, you know, and we have to grasp the understanding that we have to take a role in correcting those particular things. So I'm going to go back to the first question that you asked me when I said, what about those who were not exposed to Al-Islam before they made the transition to the religion? What suggestion would you give them when it comes to parenting and family reconstruction? And most of it is right on point. Everything we're saying to attain these particular goals, the things that we have to do, the character building programs, and once again, the mercy being demonstrated and the values that we have. And in the past, you know, I would say two generations ago, we had tremendous values and tremendous self-esteem situations that our foreparents and our grandparents told us, yes, you can. You know, there is nothing you can't do. You know, so they gave us those tools. But when we on the show, we were talking about the Quran, we talked about Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. What suggestion would you give maybe a listening audience on the internet or someone who's on who was not a Muslim until recently on how they can begin to make corrections in their life as well?
Yes, right. Okay, so to borrow from Imam Muhammad, to go back to the prelude, I, in the prelude that I give in terms of looking edit what it is that we need to do in terms of defining what is parenting, what is actually mm-hmm. parenting, in terms of nurturing and cultivating and looking at the vital components that comprise the human being. This is very, very important. We need to see our children not only in terms of physical beings. We need to see them first and foremost as Allah's creation. And so in seeing them as Allah's creation, we need to value them. We need to really value them, and we need to teach them to value themselves. And we need to teach them, you understand, what it is, that how Allah has created them, and that they have a purpose. You know, the value of anything is defined in its purpose, in its purpose. So if I'm talking to new Shahadas just coming into the religion, or even if you're not coming into the religion, the human creation is one creation, Tawheed, one God. And one creation, and one human creation, and it's one human destiny. So you have to start there in terms of defining this human creation. And we have to let it be known that Allah has given the answer in the Quran when he has said he has not created the jinn, nor the ints. The ints is the Arabic for that, in terms of the human being, except for my worship. So the first identity is given in Surah 51, Ayah 56, in terms of being Abdullah, in terms of being the servant of Allah. So this is the purpose why Allah has created us. Imam Muhammad has said, when you worship, your purpose for being is to worship Allah and to serve Allah and to work for Allah. So this is one of the first things, you know, that we have to know as parents. And this is one of the first things we have to teach our children as they continue to grow. And then understanding what our role is in terms of nurturing and cultivating. Nurturing and cultivating is actually the education in terms of these vital components. Everything is in its natural state, but it has to evolve. It has to evolve from immaturity to maturity. This is very, very important. We have to evolve as a moral being. We don't know right from wrong. We don't come here knowing anything. So this is not only important for new Shahadas, but this is important for those who may not decide they want to become Muslim, but they're human beings. So to be truly human, we have to understand that the moral nature has to be cultivated and nurtured. You know, I could say a lot more about that. But also as a rational being, you know, you try to ration with a two-year-old, really? You know, so, but we have to be constantly working with our children when they're in those formative years in terms of helping to formulate the rational nature in them in terms of reasoning. This is very, very important. And even as an intellect, in terms of being an intellectual being, we have to begin to appeal to our children to be rationally intelligent. You know, this is very important because the most important thing that God has created was the human brain, the intellect, as you talk about on Tuesday, the science of your health and you, learning lab. So we respect what it is that Allah has created. And when we teach our children, we want them to respect what it is Allah has created. And we want to talk to them, and we want to inform them, you know, how it is that they should be appreciative and valuing the intellect and what the intellect was designed for. And then also in terms of social being, we talk about the adab, you know, what it is in terms of manners, how you are to respond in certain situations and all of these things. Well, our children have to grow and have to develop. This is for the new Shahadas as they grow and develop. You know, when you learn better, you can do better even when it comes to being a parent and parenting. And the same thing when it comes to our spiritual growth and development. All of these things are so very, very important. Our children have to have the right spirit. As Imam Muhammad defined in terms of spirit, he says the right influence. So we see that the influence is today in society is not the influence that we want. Allah breathed into the human creation his spirit, of his influence. But now we see more in many of our young people today, the spirit or the influence of the shaitan. So we could say a lot more, could go further into that, but just to give something really surface, Rashid, that's an excellent question that you asked. But we have to look at these components individually, but
yes,
look at them in a holistic way in terms of development, the nurturing, and the cultivating of them. This is how you begin to shape and form leaders and leadership qualities in our children. I hope that kind of gives you a little insight.
Excellent, Mark. Truly excellent, you know. And it just lets you realize how important it is for us to really get together as a family and really begin to have conversations and be good examples, like you said before, the influence that they saw, they see that you've changed, you know, and then you stick to that and they watch you and they see, oh, Dad don't do that anymore. He's different. And that opens the door for conversation. You know, it opens the door for conversations. And what's happening today with most of our children, the exposure to this world, and I think you know, just mentioned that type of thing, the exposure of what their friends do. You know, I remember my parents saying, no, you're not going over there. I was like, I don't know that boy. I don't know his mother and dad. You ain't going nowhere. You know, I never understood what that meant. But, you know, that influence of a child who you know had a bad son over there, and parents know these things that goes on in the community. They know the kids who are doing things they shouldn't do. So what I'm saying is that the learning environment has to be created when you begin to learn more about this way of life. You know, it reminds me of Sunday, last Sunday, not this past Sunday, when Fahim Shwaib was on, he said, non-Muslims and not Muslim. You know, so that was such I never heard it like that before, you know, so I just wanted to just bring that up. So what I asked you was for the not Muslim, you know, those who have good character, those who have want to do what's right, and you know, and they need our assistance and our help as well as we need their assistance and help.
Yes.
So this creation of communication, this creation of knowing that negativity is running rampant through our schools, running rampant through our communities, and the children, the TV, the TikTok, the Twitter, it is absolutely overwhelming. So our babies, sometimes you have to stop and say, and not holler, be merciful, to say, babe, what's wrong? What happened? And have a conversation with them and not to kind of jack them up all the time because they're doing something you don't think they should do. You don't know what the exposure was. You don't know what the influence was.
Yes.
So that is so key when it comes to the learning process to recreate for those who maybe haven't been around 30, 40 years like some of us. But the bottom line is, you know, that justifiable position that we have to take, we have to change our behavior if we're going to be good parents. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very well said. And, you know, Rashid, one of the things that's very, very important, too, I have to go back to what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. That's the prayers and peace, by the way. That's what it means, the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet as the seal of the Prophet. You know, he said that all matters or all actions are judged by your niyyah. What is your niyyah? Your niyyah is your intentions. The intentions should always be pure. In terms of actually parenting, your motivation should be a good motivation. We're talking about mercy and compassion and kindness and gentleness. That has to be part of the educational part in terms of teaching. Whatever it is that we show in terms of qualities and characteristics that we are actually giving to our children, we are actually teaching them in terms of being merciful, being kind, and also being gentle with them. So in hopes that will also be impressionable upon them, so that when they grow up, become parents, that they will show mercy, that they will show kindness, and that they will show gentleness. You know, the Prophet, it was reported that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah has said that those who are not merciful to others, then Allah would not be merciful to them. This is being just in that regard. So we are all here by the mercy of Allah. And so we want to show mercy to all people, to our seniors, our elderly, our pioneers, and also to our children. This is very important, because we want Allah to extend His mercy to us. There's going to come a time where it's going to be judgment. Do we just want justice, or do we want mercy? And so oftentimes you hear in the courtroom, please have mercy, the mercy of God, be rendered the judgment and all. So
Mark, I know we have about 4 minutes left, but we do have a hand raised. I'm hoping this is...
Let's go to the caller and see what they have. We got 4 minutes left, so... I'm going to ask you, caller, to give you a minute and a half for your question or comment.
Okay. So we have 773-450. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bashir. I'm calling from Chicago. And
Bashir. You're welcome, my brother.
And subject matter, I am a father of 12. I had 10 boys and 2 girls. But I want to make a reflection of what Brother Rashid was saying. He mentioned he came from a large family. And I had a large family. And all of the things that we mentioned in the evening are needed and necessary to bring up children. But one of the realities we have in society, and the man pointed it out, many of us are working 2 jobs. The husband working 2 jobs. The wife is working 2 jobs just to keep up with the Joneses in this society. So because we don't have time because of our lifestyle, what we're talking about this evening isn't imparted upon our children because we don't have the time. And quite often, to fill that time up, in today's society, we're getting games, and they're looking at television, and they're being educated and nurtured by other than us. Also, our school systems in the past, we had teachers that had that kind of sensitivity. And quite often, what we're talking about today, they got through the school system, and especially through the University of Islam, the Claire Muhammad schools. So I'm just pointing out that is a reality that we have to deal with also in achieving with about children, is to bring our lives in some kind of control, some kind of sane, natural environment that we can address these things to help our children.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes. Thank you so much, Brother Bashir Assad. The points are very, very well taken. We thank you for the excellent commentary. Thank you so much, and please continue to listen. We appreciate that. Press 1 as you go out, Bashir, as we keep the studio clear. And Rashid, we're right at the top of the hour. I'm going to give you the last minute or so for any closing remarks you'd like to make before we get ready to transition to the MGM roundtable. Rashid, what would you like to leave the radio with?
Oh, man, I tell you. I just want to say, make a short statement. The program is thought-provoking, and I believe we need to continue to do thought-provoking programs, which are designed to prepare our children for the future, with the interaction that we have, and I think sometimes we think we, because our children are grown, that we have no responsibility. Well, get your child on the phone along with your grandchild on the phone and learn these key elements because they're necessary in the world that we live in. Would you bring a stranger into your house to teach your children? And that's a question I ask all the parents when I have my workshops and seminars. Oh, no, I won't do it. Well, we've already demonstrated that the influences of the outside is coming into the house. As soon as you cut the TV on, you got a stranger teaching your children and influences the child right there. So you don't know what your children know until, as I said earlier, effective communication skill sets and have conversation with our children so we can make sure that we know where they are because they could snap at any minute with the crazy stuff that's going on in society today if they're not properly educated with the right life experiences.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Rashid Salam. I want to thank you for sharing your insight and wisdom. Every first Wednesday here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as you sit in for Dr. Patricia Slaudine. But say next week, inshallah, Dr. Patricia Slaudine will return to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. But we always appreciate having Rashid Salam on each and every Wednesday. And I'm quite sure that you gained something from listening to him tonight and hopefully something from listening to me, even though you might not have said it, but hopefully some of the things that were said resonate with you as this production is designed to help us in terms of correct parenting from an Islamic perspective and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. So I want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in for this first hour, Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as we get ready for the MGM Roundtable. But before we do, we want to let you know that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio and that tomorrow it is the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that will be aired here with Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South. That's the ATL. Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, here on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. So please tune in as we will be concluding our topic, a series on marriage and its benefits. And who will be our guest? It'll be you, all of you that's listening. Tonight, we invite all of you to come on and to give us at least one benefit in terms of being married. If you are married or if you've been married and you know that there's benefits, we're inviting you on. So as we begin this new production here in terms of the MGM Roundtable, I always like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbi alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ مُبَارَكُ. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and producer of the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to our national and international audience, the peace that only Almighty God, Allah, can give, that becomes an obligation on the giver as well as the recipient of that greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum. And as you know, I always like to present to our radio listening audience on IWDM Radio each and every Wednesday night here on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Very distinguished and esteemed guests inside of our community, the community Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. and no less tonight, as I'm so very, very honored to have one of our very distinguished, esteemed pioneers, a very, very close friend and confident, trusted confidant of our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Wahid Muhammad, our brother and friend, Rafi Muhammad. It's such an honor to have him and bring him on with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum, brother Rafi.
Wa alaikum assalam, my brother.
Alhamdulillah. And it's an honor. It's an honor to have you on tonight, Rafi Muhammad. You know, when I last saw you, it was at the DNA, the Muslim convention there in Inkster, Michigan, outside of Detroit. And I said it to you at that time, I definitely would love to have you on. And I know many of our radio listening audience know who you are and all. But I want to start, you know, I always like to maximize the minimum, which is time, and get the most out of the time that is that we have. And many are listening in, know who you are. But there's always, Rafi, a few that may not know who you are. So I want to start off the interview with you by giving you an opportunity to kind of introduce yourself as to who you are, and then we would like to talk about your relationship with our beloved leader and teacher, Imam Wahid Muhammad. So once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum. Rafi?
Wa alaikum. Thank you. Well, I say, first I'd like to take a few moments to acknowledge my acquaintance with St. Louis. I have quite a few relatives there and childhood friends, schoolmates. It's been a wonderful ride knowing that I have people in the city. And then there's a friend, his name is Rashid. Arthur Rashid, he lives in St. Louis. He had a stroke.
Yeah.
And he's not, you know, he's I guess he can't speak. Well, he couldn't speak the last time I talked at him on the phone.
Yes,
but,
sir.
But for myself, I'm just a humble servant of the Creator. And just been in the movement for over close to 50 years. And just a hard worker.
Yes,
know.
Sir.
But I would like to say that I came on about 5 minutes or so before the talk. And the words I heard from Brother Bashir and the brother proceeded after him, mighty encouraging words.
Yes, sir.
And that global roundtable, is a hit. Yeah, it's sound.
Yes.
But I guess,
No, alhamdulillah, no. But thank you for that, you know, Rafi Muhammad. And, no, you've had, a wonderful life. I know you don't have any regrets in regards to that. No, you've had a beautiful trip with Imam W.D. Muhammad. And as I introduce you as a very close friend and a very trusted confidant, of him. Oftentimes when the imam would travel, I know personally that oftentimes he didn't always have an entourage people with him, not even in terms of entourage, in terms of even security. But if anybody was generally traveling with him, that would be you, Rafi Muhammad. I do want you, if you would, talk to the radio listening audience how this relationship with Imam Muhammad actually really started and all, and most certainly you were very, very loyal to the Imam, and how this relationship in terms of actually becoming a trusted confidant of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And want you also, we'll get to your famous quote, and we'll talk about that. It ain't no fun when the rabbit's got the gun. Rafi Muhammad.
Yeah, I know. Yes, well, I'll say my first introduction to the man and his work came through a reading of some of his writing.
Mm-hmm.
It was early years, I was in my early 20s. I was living in Grand Rapids at the time. And
mm-hmm.
when I finished the page that I was reading, I kind of spooked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's an intuitive thought that came to me to say, wait a minute, hold on, young man. Now, if you want to get this right, you have to see him as your brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, you build it on from there. And that brought me, put my feet back on the ground, and I've been relating to him as a brother from that time on. Just from the pages of his writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was influenced by my mother. She said, son, come out there and speak and put yourself into some good work. Come on. At the time, Dalai Lama Muhammad was alive, and she said, what you are. Come on in, it'll be a great help to him. I said, yeah, Mom, I do that. I think about it. So,
mm-hmm.
I thought years passed. But then when the man stepped to that microphone,
mm-hmm.
And I like to say this, that a lot of intelligent souls in the walk this planet, this Western Hemisphere, bordered
mm-hmm.
by Atlantic and Pacific Ocean. A lot of our people have been fighting and rolling,
mm-hmm.
but I'm here to say that Imam Muhammad has the divine help from the Creator
mm-hmm.
to pierce the curtains of time. And he took us all the way back to Father Adam. Now, with that said, I say he's unmatched in the leadership of our times in America. And that's with no doubt. Yeah. I want to say that. On global stage, this is the most of global round thing.
Yes, sir.
No doubt about it.
I'm so glad that you said that. So people across the world that may be listening, and to you, they need to know that about Imam Waqi Muhammad, and most certainly he had an impact. Not only with our community, it just wasn't limited there. He had an impact across the world, and it's very important that you say that and it be known. Raphael, some of the places. Pardon me.
Mark, you
have a hand raised. We're going to ask. Them, just please be patient just a little bit. Want to get a couple more questions here from our guest, Raphael Muhammad, and then we will entertain questions from the audience. I know he'll be late to do so. And then also want to say to our radio listeners, if you just tune in, you are listening to IWCM Radio. And you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. Your host, Mark Shaheed, a very distinguished, esteemed guest, our brother and our good friend, Raphael Muhammad, very close friend and trusted confidant of Imam W.D. Muhammad for many, many years, is our esteemed guest tonight. We do invite you to ask questions or make comments on what it is you hear Brother Raphael say tonight, and you can do that by pressing 1. Those of you listening on the internet, for you to ask guest Brother Raphael Muhammad a question, you have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. You might just want to call him up and give him the greetings and let him know that you're listening. And I know he'd be happy and elated to hear from you. So, Brother Raphael, you know, you got an opportunity to travel with Imam Muhammad to many, many different places. So if you would take a couple of minutes or so just to share with our regular listening audience some of the places that you actually have been with the Imam, and then also as you were traveling with the Imam, maybe some things that that you remember that he said to you that stand out in your mind. Brother Rafi?
Yes, well, first of all, in our travel, the best travel that I've done with Imam Muhammad was inside of human nature, as I said earlier. Rolling back the curtains of antiquity, time, to Father Adam. That was the best travel. To find out who I am and who I was.
Yes, sir.
And that prepared me for the second run. And the second run was this global run.
Yes, sir.
And but I would say that one of my most outstanding travels was to Poland. What they call it? Auschwitz, Poland.
Poland.
That was one of my most memorable trips. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I can't say it was the only one, but it was one of them that really stood out because of the lessons that were learned on that trip,
mm-hmm.
and how other world civilizations treat one another. I mean, peace, no fake peace, real peace. And sacrifice for one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that was case in point of Penske. You've seen the trucks ride through America, called the Penske trucks, but
mm-hmm.
Moving trucks. Now, the man Penske, he had a childhood friend. And
yeah.
that childhood friend was Pope John Paul II.
Yeah.
And ironically, I believe he came into office 1975, the same as Imam.
Mm-hmm.
So the brother was explaining to me how they bonded as childhood friends, and he made a promise to him. Think about this, man. He made a promise. Said, look, I'm going to America and get rich. And I'm going to come back and make sure you reach there.
Yes.
Where you want to go. And that was to the the Pope. He said, look, he kept his promise.
Yes.
He went back home and got rich. He came back home and laid the pathway with dollar bills. And it kept many people off it. And he made the Popehood. So, and not only that, he went through the sciences. He explained to me how he contributed to polio over the year when it was bad. That he,
mm-hmm.
you know, bought the machine and helped heal people, et cetera. So that was a thing for me. But then the other part about it, now here's a man who walked out to us while we was in the conversation. I guess
mm-hmm.
who is this African Mandingo over here with all the snow? So he walked up and asked a question. Well, what are y'all talking about? Just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Pesky, I give him his respect. Mr. Pesky said, hey, don't shoot me. I'm just a man. So so at that point, I said, But that eradicated the rabbi at the
camp.
Mr. Pesky turned back to me. He was telling me about his story. And he said, oh, things are really dark over here. He said, Rafa, I didn't mean to disrespect you over, stuff like that. I said, well, look, let's put this thing down where it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what you said to me, I take it like Michael Jordan took a basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Kept playing the game. Don't mean a thing. Color is not an issue with me.
Yes, ma'am.
My true identity is a human being.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
He said, "Oh, Muhammad, you all right with me?" And so I went back across the floor to join my leader. And a few, about 5 or 10 minutes later, he walked over. And he shook my head and said, "I didn't get a chance to say that. All right, goodbye." And he put a medallion in my hand. And the medallion was Pope Paul II on the front and then the yard on the back, the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, my leader, Pope John Paul II, said, throughout his travel, he gave 25, representing the 25 year, I believe. And he said that, he said, look, he told me if I meet people that's worthy of this coin as a memorabilia, please give it to him. And he said, I'm giving it to you. I've been impressed to that level. And I have the coin right now. So I went back, and after the program, I showed it to the man after we got back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And when the man looked at it, he started drawing fire from both sides, especially that yard. And then he said, "Rafa, this is your passport to the Catholic world."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yeah." So I tried. Mm-hmm. I got to the airport one day. He was in California, and I was trying to get there. And the lady said, give me that kind of talk. I said, "Oh, wait a minute. I remember what the mayor said." So I went in my wallet, and I let the coin drop on the counter. She looked down. Said, "Oh, Mr. Muhammad, just a second." Went back in the computer, said, "Here's your boarding pass." Just like that. But that was part of the life lessons along the way.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's a beautiful story, Brother Muhammad, and I can see why that's so outstanding. It stands out in your mind and all the travels that you had with our beloved leader, Wasdi Muhammad. I got to ask you this here, just to go down another road, and then we got a caller, and I know we're going to have some more callers that's going to be calling in. I want to ask you questions. I want to say to our radio listening audience here on IWDM Radio, if you have a question or comment, this is your time to start lining up. As our very distinguished guest, Rafael Muhammad, very close friend and very trusted confidant of Imam Wasdi Din Muhammad, was with us tonight on the MGM Roundtable. Brother Rafael, I'll be remiss if I didn't bring this up. On the first Sunday, I always would be there, part of the security for the imam. And I'd be sitting right up front oftentimes and be supposed to be on post, which I was on post, but your ears is open too. So you even hear those that may come up preceding the imam's arrival. And oftentimes, Imam Muhammad would give you instructions that he wanted you to open up. And I can't count how many times I actually heard you say that there's no fun when the rabbit's got the gun. And I used to always smile, and it was almost like he was sweating bullets. And I remember one time that Imam Muhammad actually had arrived and got on the platform, and you thought that it was time for you to sit down. He told you, "Just stay." No, Rafael, just stay up there and everything. And you repeated that again. No fun when the rabbit's got the gun. And obviously, you was the rabbit. The microphone was the gun. Talk about that, Rafael. You didn't consider yourself to be a public speaker, but Imam Muhammad wanted you to do that. And so whatever the imam asked you, that's what you did. Brother Rabbi.
Well, the thing, just about every assignment I was given from the imam, he knew it was a done deal. Well, no question about it. I wonder if that boy's going to do that. He knew it was a dumb deal, but that's on the physical side. But let me go back before and dealing with that. Let's go to the side that we can't tangibly see. And mm-hmm. that is truth, you can't kill it, it won't die. And if you try to bury it by taking a life, that truth will come up out the crust of the earth and find its way back to the halls of justice. Now, that to me came directly from Imam Muhammad. He said it might take a year, it might take a day. If you notice the climate now, most stuff are being revealed after 50 years, 100 years. The truth mm-hmm. is finding its way back. So that statement that the Imam summarized or talked with Rafa has a long life. And it put me on the road of seeking the understanding of truth, the nature of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that, I listened to him, and he said, Mother Nature,
mm-hmm.
the human brain,
mm-hmm.
and a progressive life. Yes, now, sir. Mother Nature or Mother Creation, whichever fits the intellect best. Because both of them are the same.
Yes.
So Mother Nature did what it was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It created things in this world to help the human brain see the light. Because mm-hmm. as you know, the human brain without the creation has no light.
That's right.
So, but back on a lighter note, ain't no fire when the rabbit got the gun. And that's true. I mean, you've been shooting a rabbit for 400 years, and then he get the gun. Ain't no fire. But anyway.
I'm laughing at that. But before we go to the lines, and please, the radio listening audience, I know you have questions or comments, or you may just want to greet our very distinguished, esteemed, honored guest here, Rafi Muhammad. How did you feel in terms of, you was a trusted confidant of Imam Muhammad, but Imam Muhammad trusted you. And even though maybe that might not have been something that you wanted to do, or a level of uncomfortability, if you will, in terms of the gun being the microphone and you introducing a world leader such as Imam W.D. Muhammad, and you just shared some very, very thought-provoking insight in terms of the truth, you know, that Imam Muhammad gave to you and still remains with you, that the truth, you can't kill it and it won't die.
That's right.
You know, so much can be said in regard to that, even in terms of scripture that was changed, but the truth of the Quran is a verification for what it is that Imam Muhammad gave to you. How did you feel, Brother Rafi, you know, when you were the rabbit and you had the gun, and then you had the daunting task of bringing on Imam Muhammad, can you share with us your feelings there?
Yeah, well, that part was the easy part. That part was the easy part in retrospect. In reality, the build-up before that particular hour, that's
mm-hmm.
where the work pulled in.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the bonding started. The bonding didn't start on the stage. The bonding started in our conversation.
Yes, sir.
After 10 years of the man's observation,
mm-hmm.
he said to me, Rafa, would you like to travel? I want you to travel with me from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, travel? He said, yeah. I said, okay, but that travel came 10 years later. But I say this. When you're in the room and things get serious, you may bring it to the front. You say, listen, Papa, I have plenty of enemies. Mm-hmm. And this road you about to mount, my enemies are going to be your enemies. And he didn't lie. I mean, that's a fact to the day. They still trying to kill a wounded man, but you can't kill him and he won't die. Because he represents this truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Represents the truth and the dignity that the man laid for us. The hard fight that he fought. That's what the people need to truly understand in their heart. That he was a peaceful man.
Yes,
and you can't get it without peace. You can't do it without peace. You can't formulate this community right without peace.
Yes, sir.
True peace. But I'm back to you now, Brother.
Thank you so much, Dad. Thank you so much for that, Brother Rafi. Rashid Salaam, let's go and see our regular listening audience that have their hands up. This is your time to ask a question or comment, anything. A very distinguished guest, Rafi Muhammad. Please press 1 and make sure you keep your question or comment to a minute and a half, and we're going to give Brother Rafi Muhammad opportunity to answer your question or respond to your comment.
Oh, no.
And maybe just...
Yeah.
Very good. We have 312-296. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Okay, my mic is open. Clyde Akbar. I want to know why y'all laughing when I say Clyde Akbar.
you have brother and friend. Laugh can be a good laugh. I'm just glad to hear your voice here back on IWDM Radio. It was earlier this year that you and others from the PLLA actually was here on the roundtable with me. Here on IWDM Radio. So welcome, my brother and friend, Clyde Akbar. I know you got a question or comment.
I don't have a question. I have a comment. As you know, Rafa was a very influential in assisting me when the imam is the head of the security. Rafa said something that there ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. I've been listening all the time, and to me, this is very, very, extremely serious. And when he said, also what stood out to me was that what the imam told him, he had many enemies, and these would become Rafa enemies. And security person in charge of this. And traveling with Rafa and the imam sometimes, I have felt and saw and witnessed some of those enemies and a security for the mosque. We had to deal with that. And it's very complicated, you know. And I always take it very seriously, you know.
Yes.
And up to today, I take Brother Rafa very seriously. Those enemies, I can't go into... too much about it, but security, that was very significant throughout the imam's life here, and traveling with Brother Rafa, my experiences, it was no fun, and thank Allah, it is much meaning to ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. Rafa used to say that all the time, and tonight, I'm finding out more about why he said that.
Yes,
and I'll make it brief, and that's it. I want to acknowledge and thank Allah for myself, Rafa, for the Mark, all of us who are alive and well today and survived that. One last important thing I have to say. As a Purple Heart military combat veteran from Vietnam, I have spent many nights in foxholes fighting the enemy in Vietnam. And there's very few men I have to say that this about, and that is, if I had to have one man in a foxhole with me fighting a battle, being a warrior, it's Rafa Muhammad.
Yes, Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Clyde Akbar. Brother, you know we love you, Clyde Akbar, and you was a soldier too, warrior too, because I can honestly say all the things you said was true. We had to take that serious. And as Brother Rafat say, you know, when we got our orders, our instructions, we put our life on the line for Imam Muhammad, you know, in that regard. So we didn't play. We were serious. And Imam Muhammad would often tell, you know, that he respected those persons, you understand, that was fought. And, you know, he changed that name to Akbar. To community service. The imam was always evolving the language and everything. But we really appreciate you and the work that you've done down through the years and all too. So thank you so much for calling in, Akbar. Assalamu alaikum.
Let me say this. It's that phrase was coined to me from a sister in Chicago by the name of Aisha Muhammad, I believe, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the man and I was in the garage processing some lamb or somebody, And she drove up, and she got out the car, and she said something that the man didn't find too well. And, you know, he quick, so he fired back. And she said, she fired back. She said, well, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. So I said, man, I got to use them, boss. I said, that's the door. Ain't no fun when the rabbit got to get it. So that's the origin of that slogan for me. But you know, something is very important that I want to say.
Okay.
70 years ago, might be longer than now, about 70 years ago, my mother, Martha Hampton,
yes, sir.
She said to me, I'm out there playing marbles down 2 hours from my house. And we got the person to knock him over the marbles. Anybody ever shot marbles know what I'm talking about. Some people look cheap, do different things, as boys. So she brought, when I came home, she said, look, let me explain something. If people don't want to play with you, you don't want to play with them. I don't want you to ever forget that. And she said, there's another thing that's important in this life journey. If you lie, you steal. If you steal, you kill. So buy yourself from those kind of things. And I had to say that because 70 years later, or I say 50 years later, the man said, weak thinking, wrong ideas. Makes the devil.
It makes the devil.
Yeah, makes the devil. And that's the route that the man, it just like fit right in with what my mother had told me. I guess that he had said to me one time before, Papa, we are like souls. I know all the souls is like one, but we are like so. In other words, there's something about our connection that's mythical in a way, and so forth and so on. But what I like to say about the mythology of the Nation of Islam, where we all come from, he said that myth has a design on it. And the design of myth is to hold you until religion comes. And that's what Elijah Muhammad did for us in the, I say us, it was for my time, it still was us.
Yes, sir.
He held us until his son came. And when his son came, he stopped so hard to the earth shook. Because he brought this truth that others had, and didn't reveal it.
Yes, sir.
So we can move on down the road.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for that, Rabbi Muhammad. I think we may have some other callers. Let's go back to Rashid Salam. Rashid Salam, do we have any other callers with their hands in the air?
Yes, sir, you do. You have 773-450. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Who are you and where are you calling? I think I got this voice.
Yeah, this is Bashir Assad from Chicago, Illinois. The city of big shoulders where my brother's from. Rafa, I like others who knew something about your responsibility. We respect your service, and we know you have detractors. We know that. But I have three questions, observations I'd like you to address. One is, when did you first come into personal service to Imam Wardi Muhammad? And I can remember early when I had security over when the Claire Muhammad School was still going on, I would see you in your overall with the Imam driving around. The second question is, how would you describe Imam utilize you to serve his mission? You know, and sometimes people will say, well, Rafa, you know, you got to get through Rafa to get to the Imam.
Yeah.
And the third question is, on the transition of Imam Wardi Muhammad, there were issues that arose, there were divisions that occurred, and assets that may have been lost.
Okay. So, Bashir, what we're going to do, yes, Bashir?
I'm going to give you something to drink. But they have breakfast. Damn.
Yeah, Bashir, what we gonna do is we're gonna give him a chance. So Rafi,
I do number one as a succinct way from me.
Okay.
Number one question was
when did you come into service?
I was going to grab some cranberry juice.
They gave me that.
Wait, see, I can't hear for some reason.
Something's coming. Rashid, we can hear you. Please, we can hear you. So, please, we have to keep close the mic so, you know, we can hear you.
Right. So I can hear the question. You know, it's kind of fade.
Go ahead, Brother Rafi.
But the question, I couldn't hear the question because it was breaking up. People was coming in.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody was talking beside the speaker.
Yeah, we apologize for that, the interruption. The first question he had was to you, Rafi. When did you first come into service with Imam Muhammad? That's the first question. When did you first come into service with Imam Muhammad?
I would say when I 1975 to February 25th, when he stepped to the microphone and he said, "My God is a universal, true and living God." That's what he said. True and living God. And then he said, other profound statement was, "We won't bend to materialism." He said, "Let the wind blow. We'll raise the wind as the crazy one is sure." Now, he has some powerful signs there. So that's when I was if he want to know the actual date, that's it.
Okay.
Now, in terms of when you bring it down,
I
know it. Let me finish. When you bring it down on this side of the Lola, after 75, a gentleman by the name of Salim Adia from the west side.
Yes, sir.
Most people from Chicago know Salim. And he was the one that introduced me to the mayor at the bar. I said, the mayor drove up, and Salim talked to him, and then he called me over to the car. He said, "Brother Man, I want you to introduce you to a good man." I was a young man then.
Yes, sir.
And he said his name, told him what my name was. And you know what the man said?
What's
I know.
That?
He said, "I know." Salim was telling that I was a good man. He said, "I know."
He said, "You know."
Just like
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And time bonded us. But now, on to the next question.
The other question was in terms of specifically what duties at first, in terms of after you became integer. So you already answered that question, but what duties was assigned to you in service?
You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Being conscious of the properties that we had to protect. And in that journey, I have to say, Bashir was the only civilized man I met in the trenches. And I told him that back then. I said, "Man, look, you make more and what made it civilized, he talked common sense."
Yes,
he was stressed out, by being an official in this community. He always maintained, and not with me, the time I entertained with him, that his common sense radiated with me. And I guess that's because of my rearing. I don't know. Probably so. No doubt about it. But I started working. That's what it was. And you know, if you know Salim Adib, you know that's work. Salim worked Adib.
Yeah.
And we bonded, and we bonded until his demise, his car accident coming from the west side to his death on the south side, he and his wife. Yeah. But that was back in the day.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Absolutely not. Now, Bashir, yes. So Rashid, you still have Bashir there. The third question kind of lose me a little bit. So Bashir, ask your third question there, and we'll get a response from, Rashid.
Yeah, Rafa. On the transition of Imam Muhammad Muhammad, there were issues that arose. There were divisions that occurred. There were assets. I don't know who would say that they were lost, but there were situations. And some of those things are not clear. The people I know, they're not clear to me. I was there. I wasn't, privy to those things. Anything that you would like, would you like to say, and in relationship to that, to give us some
clarity? What I like to say. Right. What I like to say is, what you saw as the male transition was there all the time. It just didn't pop up across the male. You know how hard the male struggle in Chicago and different places? It was a struggle, man. It wasn't no joke. So what you see in the male's transition was there all the time. That's the best way I can put it, because if I take it any other way, I'll be giving credit to the weak fingers, the wrong ideas. And you know what that makes. I'm not calling nobody no devil, but that's the formula for being one.
But thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Bashir Asai, for those questions. I know we may have some other that's on the line. We want to get through any and all, and we want to just accept what our brother Rafi Muhammad wanted to give in regards and relationship, you know, to that. So thank you. Press one and go out, Bashir, if you would, and so we can keep the studio clear. Rashid Salam, do we have any other callers? And this is your time. Press one. You have
yes,
a question.
Yes, sir. You have 773-449. Your mic is open. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Samir Muhammad from Chicago. That's Rafat. Did that name ring a bell?
Samira. Oh, yeah.
Samira Muhammad. Mm-hmm.
You sound so youthful. You know, I was trying to feel for you.
I am.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I'm just sitting back here smiling. It's so wonderful to hear your voice, Brother Rafat. I haven't seen you. I think the last time I seen you came by to see Sister Hanan.
That's right.
Yeah. And
Is this Sister Mira from Sister
Larissa Dawson?
New Jersey?
No.
It's still strong. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, indeed.
I'm glad.
It's good to hear your voice, but I say you got so much youth in your voice.
That's
kind of hard for me to bear back.
My
voice here. My voice reflects the wear, but your voice don't. Thank God.
Well, when you have wonderful people in your life and they make you laugh and smile all the time and
It makes a difference. That's right.
I'm glad to hear your voice.
That's what I want to tell Clyde. He's smiling. He's laughing. Live on.
Oh, yeah. Alhamdulillah. That's our president of our PLLA, a wonderful president, too. Glad to have him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We've been through a lot in PLLA, but we're still standing.
Where are you now, Brother Rafat? Rather calling from you in Chicago.
Huh?
Rather calling from you in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, this is Chicago. Alhamdulillah.
You know, my family's here.
Uh-huh. I saw your daughter at Mikhail's Janaza.
Who is Mikhail?
What's the brother's name?
You talking about Mike?
Mike, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I told her to get you greetings for me.
She did, but you know how long Mike been gone, about, what, 2 or 3 years?
It ain't been that long, Brother Papa.
No.
I
guess I have to credit that to the hard time on me.
Yes, I'm going to do that.
Mark had an opportunity to bring you on tonight, and you've always been concerned for you. You always showed concern and care for me, you know, and I appreciate that. And I'm glad
you
know.
Absolutely. But the thing about your question, your comment, you brought me back to something. I certainly want to expound on the point that you mentioned that brought me back to another point. That includes females. So I don't want to let that slide. And thank God for your angelic call, which brought it back to focus for me. Thank you for that.
What was that you said brought back to focus?
The question, your comments on my behavior and mannerism toward you.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
He was like a Muslim brother. He was like a biological brother in the works, you know, and always showing concern.
You.
I appreciate that. So I'm glad that Brother Mark had an opportunity to reach out to you and for you to share some of your thoughts about Imam Muhammad. And
Yes.
I always wondered what you meant when you said ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
Yeah, well, you know, that was on the comedy side. You know, it wasn't a serious note. Well, it was serious to me, but I know the people need a little humor. You know what I mean? But one thing I want to mention right away on that note, we was talking about the, you threw me out with that rat on the ground. I was going to lie, but I got off. I can't get it to come back. Yeah.
Okay. Well, in any event, it was good hearing from you and talking with you. May Allah continue to bless you.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Well,
thanks for coming on, the comments and all. Press 1 and mirror as you go out the queue to keep the studio clear and everything. So thank you so much for coming on. Rashid Salam, we have any other callers with their hands up?
Yes, sir. We have 618-713. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Henry Muhammad Rafa from Chicago.
Wait a minute. You ain't talking about that one, Henry.
Well, I don't know.
Is this the same Henry you should stand at 95th? And a Dan Ryan and preach that gospel.
Yes, sir. This is Brother Henry Marvin.
Henry, look, man.
Yes.
That's a pleasure. Pleasure, man. Trust me when I tell you that.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to hear your voice, brother. And
Thank you, sir. I just
want to say I love you, man, and thank you for all the hard years of work that you put forth. When I first really got a chance to talk to you years and years ago, you were tuck pointing a wall. I would just like you to, you know, share with the community your insights on tuck pointing and repairing walls.
Okay, I'll do that. But let me say, this man is on the other end of the phone. He's the real deal, folks. Muslim community, he's the real deal. He ain't no fake. He is the real deal. And I can tell you, but the tuck point, I can make it quick and succinct. You get that tool in your hand. You're looking for that wall. You see some holes, you plug them up. Because when you add all those holes up, it's bigger than a bean pie. All that gas coming out of your building. So if you know anybody that offer you to give you that service for tuck point, look, don't be addicted to white. Give it to your brother. That's a noble task. It does a noble thing. Keep you warm in the weather and cool in the summer.
And
you gotta hit it. You can't play with it. You gotta come early and stay late if you want to make money. That's right.
Thank you, thank you, Brother Henry Muhammad for calling me. We appreciate it. And Brother Rafa, I want to say Brother Henry Muhammad has been very instrumental in our community. He's a real good brother. He's always looking to help.
Now, is that the 618 St. Louis area code?
Well, no, he's Carbondale, Illinois.
Okay,
he's there in Carbondale.
Okay, that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, he in Carbondale.
Yeah, Henry's the real deal. I tell everybody that any time of day, any time of night. And he was only on 95th Street in our community. He's downtown. He stood up in our community and fought. But Stony Island, in the Stony Island era. Now, that's what somebody talked about, the turmoil. Now, that was the term of separating the wheat from the tares during the Stony Island era.
Yes, sir.
The piece has to remember the mind. That stuff is all the time. But the real deal came, separating, getting on track, and giving the male a chance to do what he was born to do.
Yes,
even
sir.
Though he was going to take a chance anyway because Mother Nature was on his side. Mother Creation was said, go Muhammad, go. And Muhammad went. And took a few people along with it.
Thank you so much, Brother Henry. Henry Muhammad for calling. We appreciate you, brother. Keep up the great work there in Carbondale.
Right.
He's been a tremendous help to us here in St. Louis. And we're going to be looking to invite him back here in St. Louis and maybe give a Tylene and everything, too. So thank you, Brother Henry Muhammad. Press one as you go out. I know we probably got maybe a couple more hands. Raise as we get to the top of the hour. We want to try to get them all in.
We only have one. We only have one left.
We got one left,
Brother Rafi.
But I know, but look, let me say this. It's imperative that people listen to what the man is saying. You know, just to, you know, let the people know he's a special man.
Yeah,
because he have embodied a mighty truth. I just want to say that. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Now you go with the next call, please.
Yeah. Like, and also he's written an outstanding publication, a book. With every parent should know about human imagery in religion and. It's mental and the effect that it has on the mind of our children. So that's an outstanding publication. I do endorse it. I got it for
my
children.
He's right.
And also many copies left here at Alma Mignon here in St. Louis. So I would say to you that if you don't have that publication, you should get that publication by Brother Henry Muhammad. It's an outstanding book. A publication. Influenced by our beloved Imam Baby Dame Muhammad. Rashid Salam, who do we have next?
Okay, we have 501-864. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Okay, my name is Fahim Munir, calling from Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm not gonna say anything. I just wanna say assalamu alaikum to Rafa.
Well, I like my slam. Good to hear your voice.
This is Arkansas Red?
Yeah. Look, can I ask you a question, right, Arkansas?
Yes.
Is Brother J.D. Muhammad still alive?
No, he passed. He passed.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Well, Raheem and I go back a ways, too. We go back. And I always had respect for him because he always been a decent man.
We go way back there with Lieutenant Leo.
That's right.
And Larry Foez, Qasim Ahmed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And during the Stony Island era.
Yes, sir. Wally Kareem, all of them.
Yeah.
Wally Baha.
Look, Wally, I got a story I can tell you about Wally. Wally was a special man in my book. You know, he and the man used to run, you know, get out and run for exercise and stuff. So when the man migrated me into the fold, it was late during the CPC time. Wally walked up to me after he'd been outside. He said, "Ralph, let me speak to you a minute." I said, "Okay." He said, "Now, I want them to see me speaking to you because they know exactly what I'm telling you. And the point he was making was, you ain't by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go back to the marriage. I got in it, Rafael, you got in. And that's why he was telling me. And while he showed up again at the gravesite out in Homewood,
yeah.
He said, Rafa, he said, in other words, I'm still with you. I said, thank you. Why? He said, whatever, you know, just call me. But thank God, you know, he's able to live out a pleasant life, and I was too. But he was the man that stepped to the plate. Yeah, he did that. And I appreciate him for that. What I'm talking about, see, people lie, man. They lie. But we're here to talk about the other part of this life. And that's the life that I've enjoyed in my, what you call, prayer and meditation. And in the meditation part of it is think about the thoughts that you thought about. And that's where I'm at now. And there comes the insight, the wisdom from the inner self. And I can't stress that more. I can't stress that enough to my Muslim family. It ain't so much the physical. I mean, physical is good. You know, you eat, get hungry, cry, all that kind of stuff. But if you want to touch into the eternal light, go inside. Give yourself some quiet time. You gotta do that in order to get where you gotta go as a human being. Yeah, and that's the true identity.
Hey, Rafa, I heard you mention about the struggles that the Imam was having.
Yeah.
As you know, we were back there every time the Imam made some progress. He had those agents and the ones that were close up around him trying to knock him down.
Absolutely.
You know what the Imam said about the Muslim General newspaper too, right, at the time?
Yeah,
how they were changing their words.
That's probably not, you know what I mean, about the wrong notes that was put up on our soul in Chicago. But, you know, I know it's... Yeah, but this is the old mic, so express yourself, you know.
Okay.
Because you know the reality of it.
Yeah, and it was nice to hear Sister Amira Muhammad, too. I think her mother lived over the restaurant on 71st Street.
Oh, yeah, Sister Sarita.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good lady, man. And we used to have long talks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
And she mentioned another woman was Hani and Akbar. And that was my close friend, personal friend, and for years. And
I just
wanted
to give you all the greetings, and I give you a call next week, Rafa.
Yeah, please do, man. Come on now, do that. Yeah, because you know, you still in the radio business. I guess you gone.
Yeah. But thank you so much, as brother known as Arkansas Red. So alhamdulillah, thank you so much for calling in and your comments and all taking down memory lane there. Press 1 as you go out the queue. Rashid Salam, any other callers in the queue or is that it? Rashid Salam?
Yeah, one more for it is in the queue and
okay.
I'll open that line up. It's 312-391. Please state your name. Tell us where you're calling from. Your mic is open.
Yeah, this is Clyde El-Amin. I hope you can hear me.
Yeah, yeah. Brother Clyde. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to MGM.
Well, I heard at the last minute that Brother Rafa was on. There was no way I was going to let this opportunity pass up.
Okay, now that's the Clyde I know where that was. Yeah.
Oh, man, well, I don't know who I sounded like at first, Brother Rafa.
Well, you sound like one of the professors off the camera. You know what I mean?
Well, you know me. We all got to speak two languages, at least two languages. You know, but you always sound like my homeboy because we had that Michigan thing in common. But
that's right. That's right.
You know, so you were always a place where I could, being around you, I could relax. You know.
Thank you, man.
But brother,
glad to hear that.
I definitely was. I was proud of the work that you did, and at the same time, I was praying for you. I understood the work that you were doing just well enough to know that you needed somebody praying for you. So,
you know what? I bought my two grandkids two child books. It's called Standing in the Need of Prayer.
Yeah.
One was 7 years old, one was 11 years old. So where you were then, I'm there now. Because they, you know, I know they're gonna need that prayer, you know. So they're standing in the need of prayer.
Well, you know.
How's your daughter doing, man? If you don't mind me
asking. Everybody's doing well. I'm doing well, Brother Rafar. And you know, the older I get, the more blessed I know I am to have had journey that we had. You know, I have to ask myself sometimes, what did I do to deserve it? You know.
Yeah, I hear you, man. You look, you got the humor. You carry that humor with you, and that's the key, man. That's one of the keys.
Well,
you know,
brother. You know, Brother Five, when you said standing in need of prayer, we brought we brought all the good. Alice Lam did not ask us to get rid of the good stuff we bought. In fact, it enhanced the good stuff that we brought.
That's right.
You know, from this
from this
African American journey, you know.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Imam was the one of the many, many things I appreciate about the Imam is that the Imam in fact he cautioned us about not losing those things that were uniquely our identity, because that was a lot with us, you know. And we had that song. You know, we had that song, It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. It's still me standing in need of prayer, you know.
Yeah, maybe that's where this book came from, out of Baltimore. She's a beautiful writer. She wrote a child book with illustration. So they, you know, but you're right, man. That's where it come from.
It's a good possibility.
It come from our ancestors.
Yes. We were reaching. You know, despite the blinders they tried to put on us, we were reaching.
Yes, sir.
Despite the blinders, that's right.
Yeah. Well, you gave me a phrase tonight, Brother Rafar, that I'm going to use. You call it the Stony Island era. I wasn't using that phrase, but it's very, very convenient for a lot of things that I have to say.
Because, look, it's one of the most fundamental movements that ever hit the soil of North America. Stony Island. Now, you know, there's been a lot of great things that happened among our people. But that Stony Island era is the greatest moment in time for the 400 years. And that's what makes the man so great. I mean, you know, I just have to say it, because with all the struggle and the turmoil, he kept rolling. He didn't let that. The adversities block his mission. And I thank God for that, man. But it truly is, that era is the most fundamental development. I'm talking about foundation, for real.
Yes, sir.
Of any other group that ever walked in this soil. Because we came from zero. We came from a mythology. And through that, we weren't human. Remember, it was a human identity. He said, I'll show you. Follow me. He took us all the way back, as I said earlier, to Father Adam. And then that archetype started to take place in our mind. And now we arrived, man. We got Clyde and me.
We got a lot of crackling there, Rashid. I don't know whose mic is open, so just trying to eliminate that crack.
It's only one mic open, other than
just one. Okay.
I'm moving something around.
Okay, so we thank you for calling in. We don't want a little overtime, but we want to get all the callers in. Thank you so much, Brother Amin, for calling in.
I appreciate it, brother. I appreciate the work you're doing, too.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you, Brother Clyde. Keep up the great work that you're doing, brother. I mean, a soldier for long. So we appreciate you, too. And we want to give our very distinguished, esteemed guest, Rafi Muhammad, opportunity for any closing remarks or anything that he'd like to leave the radio listening audience with. This, inshallah, this won't be the last time I look to get him back on at another time and talk about some of the things that he actually personally learned from Imam Muhammad. They shared with him, and he can share with the radio listening audience again. So, Brother Rafi Muhammad,
yes.
I want to give you a few minutes for any closing remarks that you'd like to make and what you'd like to leave our radio listening audience at this time.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
As Sister Aretha said, as I said to her, she brought me to mind. And that's the female in our community and before our community. When I was a boy, I was employed by women. My second grade teacher, my fifth grade teacher, and the eighth grade principal of the elementary school.
Yes, sir.
And what was outstanding about the fifth grade teacher, she brought a this way. You know how you make a toothbrush out of a stick?
Yes, sir.
How you brush your teeth with a stick? Now, look, she's in a Christian environment, but she brought to that class some beyond the Mississippi textbook. She brought that bitch way and showed us, look, you can't afford a toothbrush, here's what to use. She did that. Now, let me move on to Aunt Shusha. I remember her favorite dress was two-piece blue suit, dark blue. She used to put on that suit and walk the floor to teach. Now, the principal, his name was Sanders. He had half an arm, and his fingers grew out of his elbow from my birthday. The boy could he kicked the football. And then he had a handwriting that I remember today when I was seeing it writing. That the way he made his Y, the way he made his L's, that stuck with me a lifetime. Now, let me move on further. I'm going to get to the women. But in high school, I have to go this route to give you some sense of development. When I went to high school and made it through 12th grade, and the principal, the new principal, he came to the microphone in my 12th year. He said, listen to this. He said, dear student, I want to be frank, firm, and fair. Those was his words, Mr. George Wilkerson Jr. And that stuck with me. Another piece that stuck with me a lifetime. So it wasn't hard for me to be obedient when I was accepted by the imam and his confidentiality. Now, the women, my mama gave me a life lesson at 4 years old, as I told you about. And over in Islam, it was about six or seven influential women that influenced me. We start with Detroit.
Excuse me, Rashid, we're hearing a lot of crackling noise. I don't know where it's coming from. If you're wrinkling paper,
I don't either, but I'm on mute.
It might be a mic. Check, it may be a mic that you forgot to close. It have to be, you know. Okay. I'm sorry, Brother Rafi, please continue.
No, that's okay. Sister Milka, she brought me back at this point. Detroit was Mariam P. Muhammad. Sister Khadija, she sits at the top of the rim. And I say that in light of, she was a Muslim woman the Father and have leadership to the team. And she gave service to her community in her neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
She created a nursing facility next door to her home. And she's a busy woman. But when she heard of my mother's passing, she called me and offered, but I know she's in that business of taking care of the deceased. And she said, I asked her, I said, well, look, I want you to charge me to roll the Grand Rapids and take care of a motherfucker. She said, Rafa, I can't charge you. Just pay me for the material, the cloth. And I said, thank you. And what she did, she said, now let's, we're going to get back in a flash, but let's go back to these women I'm talking about. In Rockford, Illinois, there's a lady by the name of Rashida Muhammad.
Yes.
I'm talking about people that stood up against the odds and there wasn't nobody but them, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, Rafa, I didn't desire to get the man on radio, this, that. I said, okay. Well, I what you want? She said, well, I need somebody to come to Rockford. I said, okay. I told you, ma'am, and I'm in Rockford, fast forward. And the meeting I had was with a German guy that owned or worked at the radio station one. And in our conversation,
mm-hmm.
we were paying a lot of money for satellite trucks come up. And in our conversation, he picked up his big phone at the time. He said, mm-hmm. you see this? He said, man, you can do this. You can do it with this for half of what less than that, you know, real cheap for what they deal with now.
Yes, sir.
And in the conversation, that was born the radio community, telephone communication for the email 13 months.
Now, what?
Let's go on to Philadelphia. Now, we talk about the females and the male leadership. That made a difference. I'm talking about a real difference.
Yes, sir.
It was Sister Amatullah Rashad, but she was from the president's home now. I can't think of that city right outside of.
You're talking about you're talking about Delaware.
Delaware, yeah. That's right. She's from Delaware. And we go to Philadelphia, a group one, at a meeting, and you know, I had my stuff set up working the jig for it down. And she stepped up, she said, excuse me, Brother Rafa. I said, yeah. She said, how can I get the man to Philadelphia? No, she talked about her hometown, yeah. Whatever that town was in, it wasn't the ones in Delaware. It was,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, I said, well, look, how am I looking, young lady? I said, you have enough courage to ask. I got enough courage to show you. Now, that particular individual went on to lead the convention in Philadelphia
mm-hmm.
in 1999. On the tutorage of yours truly. But, I was at a funeral, you know, doing a passing, and that was a hurting time for me because she was a marvelous help. But now, back to Detroit right quick, Sister Khadija, when we got to, she took help my mother. And I went to the ma'am. I said, boss, I said, my mother, she, you know, I would like you to do her the math. He said, Rafa, be my place. So me, the ma'am, and Sharif from Denver.
Mm-hmm.
We got in his car, and we drove to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the math. And he told the audience, he said, look, you see Well, it was close to time, but he said that she ain't there. I don't think she's there. Ain't nothing there but a clothes. She's going on to paradise. So, you know, we don't know. We yeah, no need to we. And I know she's going on to paradise because she prepared her son to help me in this mission.
Hello.
Now, when we get to the grave site, he took it over to me. He said, I'm going to show you how it goes. But he, before he said that, he said, Rafa, no, after we got in the car, but he went through the proper way that we should do it, not what somebody told us from over yonder in this place. He said, Rafa, the casket should be about 4 to 6 inches below the crust of the earth. And as the Christian community that as a part of that family should have a word to say. He said, now, and then once you do your with the body in midair, and then you lower the body in the ground, and you give it dua. He said, now all this ash to ashes, dust to dust, talk, forget about it. Don't mean a thing. And before we left the ground of the cemetery, he said, now, Rafa, here's what I want you to do. Sharif can have me with us. But I'm like big Mr. Richard Gregory. I don't need no validation for the truth.
Yes,
he
sir.
Said to me, I want you to tell the emails out there that follow me. Because you know a lot of them out there weren't following him.
That's right.
So he said, for those that follow me, share this information with me. And I'm so happy to have this platform to share that information with.
Yes, sir.
And for those that are not clear, if you got a tape, play it back to them. I'm fulfilling my obligation to the man after death, as well as I did when he's alive. And if you're going to remember me about anything, tell the world and remember that he had a man that was built with no betrayal in him.
Yes,
no betrayal, because at 4 years old, don't lie, don't steal, and don't care. Walk me through Mississippi unshaved.
Yes, sir.
He can never put a hand on me, and I walked all the time at night as a teenager. Never been, because I was protected. I was protected for a mission.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, man. Thank you,
sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Thank you, Brother Raphael. We thank you. We love you, Brother, for all of this you have done. You still are inspiration and motivation in this community, and we appreciate you greatly. You know, I had the honor 2 weeks before Imam W.D. Muhammad transitioned. I have to share this while I have you at the round table. 2 weeks before his transition, as you well know, you were with him coming back to Chicago after the convention, the annual convention there in Detroit. It was at Cobo Hall. And we flew on Southwest Airlines, and we were at the back of the line. I was with Imam Abdul Mukmin. We traveled together quite a bit across the country, and he saw him first, and he said, look who's coming. And who was coming? It was Imam W.D. Muhammad, his wife Khadija Sadiq Muhammad, and Brother Zambezi, who at that time was the head of security, and you his very close friend and trusted companion, was with him. And those who have ever flown the Southwest, you know it's first come, first serve. So we were at the end of the line, and of course, we was at the back of the plane. As far as went. And I never forget Brother Zambezi sat behind the imam, the last seat on the left-hand side. His wife sat next to the window. I sat in front of the imam, and Imam Abdul Mukman sat near the window, and you sat right across, and your back was up against the wall of the toilet that was there. And when we got off the plane, we had a connecting flight from Chicago to St. Louis. I hugged the imam and told him, I said, "Brother Imam, I love you, and I appreciate all it is that you do for this community." And he said back to me, and Imam Abdul Mukman, "Yes, and I love you too, and I appreciate all that you do for this community." And then it's like he always usually would say, "I'll see you soon. Assalamu alaikum." I value that. And that to have an opportunity 2 weeks before his transitioning, Imam Muhammad always taught us to look for the good, look for the good, look for the good in people and all. And he always saw that, and he always would acknowledge that amongst many things that he did. And this is something I think Imam Muhammad wants us to do today for the progression of this community. We have to look for the good in each other. As the Imam has said, that the leadership is in the resourceful people in the community. We have to look for the good that Allah has deposited to all of us besides ourselves. And this is something amongst many things that Imam Muhammad has taught us. And I just think, Brother Rafi, the good it is that you have this platform is for, it's designed for persons like yourself and the good that Allah has deposited into you. So I'm honored to have you tonight on the MGM Roundtable. I want you to know that you always have an open invitation here at IWDM Radio and on the MGM Roundtable. I do look forward to inviting you back again. And looking at one to dialogue with you, inshallah, God willing, on some of the things that Imam Muhammad, you know, said to you, and you can share with our radio listeners, and you can tell by the response there were many was glad to hear your voice and to know that you're doing well and all. So thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you richly in this life. And may Allah continue to bless your family too. And as always, I'd like to leave you with the greetings of peace that only God can give now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Yeah, and to the Muslim audience.
Yes,
peace until the dawn. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
There you have it. As we conclude the productions here on IWDM Radio, we just heard from our very distinguished and esteemed guest, Imam. I want to call him Imam. I know he would probably accept that, but, you know, Imam Muhammad thought so very much of him and as a trusted, confidant, and companion that he would go with him anywhere and everywhere. He's a soldier, still is a soldier, and we really honored to have him here on the MGM Roundtable. Want to say that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio as tomorrow, which is Thursday. The Sister Learning Lab to the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir. She's out of the ATL. It's the Jewel of the South. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We will be concluding a series on marriage and the benefits of marriage. And who's our guest? You are. You're our guest. And so those of you who are married, who've been married before, maybe never been married, but you realize the benefits of marriage, we do invite you to listen in. We invite you to call in. and to share with our radio listening audience tomorrow on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And Friday is Latu Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. And for those who are immobilized and can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with the very distinguished Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. First, Latu Juma, it begins at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production on IWDM Radio is once again with the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sayer out of Indianapolis, Indiana. Words make people, as he always have very distinguished guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. It's each and every Sunday afternoon. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And at the beginning of the week, we have our very distinguished and esteemed host, Rashid Salam, is engineering tonight. He hosts that with his returning guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. This is the Learning Lab. You always got to bring your pen and pad. So many different terms and everything as they give us information and education on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. It begins each and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And that brings us back to the night, which is Wednesday. And that means it's time for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished and esteemed co-host, and that's Dr. Patricia Slaudine. Each and every Wednesday, except for Wednesday, we have our beloved brother, Rashid Salam, that sits in for her each and every Wednesday, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. That begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, and it's 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, which is each and every Wednesday, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. It's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside our community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also outside of our community, and also topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And we'll be having some guests on in the future that'll be outside of our community. I think you're going to really love. And all the next week, we're looking to have Imam Munir Muhammad on, who is the director of the DNA Muslim Convention there in Inkster, the upcoming Sira Conference that's held each and every year there in Harlem, New York, the historic Masjid Malcolm Shabazz. So please tune in, and that starts each and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. I want to remind you that the time to be grateful is fast approaching. 2022 is going to be in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. You want to be there, so there's still room for registration. Everything, there's still room for you. Please go to the time to be grateful or go to MuslimJournal.com and make sure that you're there. Look at all the things that it is that you can be involved in. Sign up for those things. And I'm looking to be there and see somebody stumbling and bumbling around. That would be me. So I'll be looking for you there. The time to be grateful, 2022 in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Last but not least, don't forget the Muslim Journal. It has been the lifeblood of our community. Make sure you keep the subscription up. And for those of you who have a wherewithal, please think about somebody in your family, a friend, a neighbor, an associate, or a community member, maybe a pioneer in the community, or maybe a local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. So I want to extend a special thanks to our radio listening audience, because without you, there could not and would not be IWDM Radio and the various productions that you hear, including the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable tonight. Special thanks go to our engineer extraordinaire, Rashid Salam. And so I want to say until next time, This salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. And please, wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Assalamu alaikum.